I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Bing bing bong ba bing bang bong
bing bing bong bing bing bang bong
bing 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 bing
bong
bing bing bang bong bing bing bang
bong
bing 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 bong bing 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 bong bing 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 bing
bing bing bing. Hello, and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas.
And I'm Andy Matthews.
And okay, and I'm, yeah.
I'm Alistair George William Trombley Burchell.
And I'm Andy Matthews, okay? I want to start this thing out with a base of reality. You got to start in a basis of reality. What? You can't just start, you know, somewhere else and have people being like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah, great.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. No, you can't. No,
I think there's a card in there.
Okay, great. Well then, let's start talking ideas, Andrew. Andrew Matthews.
Do you think? It's me.
I mean, I know this is base, Andy. This, what I'm about to say is base.
Oh, that's good. It's good to start with a base.
Yeah, absolutely.
Reality?
No.
And a base.
Okay, great. Well, just to think about it, like, animals aren't perfect, including us.
Hang on.
So there are times when animals, their location would have been given away to a predator because of a fart.
You know what? You're right.
You know, and we've developed the ability to hold farts in, but it's not foolproof.
No, it's absolutely not.
Especially,
I've recently discovered various other abilities to hold things in are also not foolproof.
No, absolutely.
I mean, you think they are, but then...
No, that's right. They're not,
and then, but those fools, they're always upping their game, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you build some sort of defence, you think it's foolproof, and then the fools, they're so smart. Oh. They find a way around it.
Yeah, you're talking about liquid feces?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, once they develop fool. That...
That's a fluid stool, is a fool.
Yeah.
So, yes, no, you're right, the anus is not foolproof.
No, absolutely not.
But it is amazing that we haven't evolved a better way of dealing with farts. You know, like to have a secondary sac that you can fart into quietly.
Like just like an air sac on the inside?
Yeah.
That you could just sort of like...
Well,
like,
but then I guess you're going to have to vent that at some point. Yeah. That's probably going to have quite a bit of build-up after a while.
It's a storage
I'd always
hole.
Just be venting into the storage well, hole.
It
and then,
should be like a cow's stomach of like extra storage bags.
That's right.
Like you should be able to store as much as your skin can flex.
I need to be able to put this off.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that I can't delay sufficiently in my life. I love to put things off. And it'd be great to be able to put off a put... I was about to say a poof, but that's not a word
a
for poop. Farts.
No. I think you can say a poop. I should be able to delay a poop. Anyway, I'm sorry, everybody. This is where we started.
It's all right. We've been doing the comedy festival for 3 weeks now, something like that.
Yeah, we're deep in.
I've barely got a voice left, but also our psyches have been eroded away.
Absolutely. Andy's actually using lines now from the show. That's how much his psyche has been eroded
away.
There's
nothing
he
left.
Doesn't even have creativity left. He's just basically reading off of the script in his mind.
We're recording downstairs in the main studio at Stupid Old Studios today. We're on this recording on this unfamiliar talking recording device. It's why Alistair asked me about the card earlier. But it's also why whenever he wants to make a real point, he's leaning in towards the machine. I've never seen you do that before. You're like, this is just between you and me, recording device.
Well, I see the recording device as our audience. Our audience, who, by the way, so many people have come to see
the Comedy
Magma,
Festival show.
To Comedy Festival show. Thank you. First of all, thank you. Second of all, at least three people have come from overseas.
Which
at least
wild.
Four people have come from overseas.
Not all of them specifically just to see us.
No, of course, some of them wanted to also see Matt Stewart.
Some of them did, yeah. But when he's gone,
yeah, well, like
not going to be long. It's not going to be long.
Like, is it when he dies?
Yeah.
Then it's just going to be us.
It's just going to be us. We'll be all you have.
I don't know if people can justify coming and flying all the way here just for two in the think tank.
No, we need to diversify the portfolio, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, we need to have a few more legs to this tripod.
Yeah, right.
You can't just have a one-legged tripod.
No.
No.
That's true. My God, I hadn't thought about that.
Well, what about a tripod? Mm-hmm. Right? You build a tripod, and then there's a little base, right? And then under that, just one leg.
Okay, right? Wait.
You get all the benefits of a tripod.
Yeah.
Right? Because it has those three legs.
Yeah.
But then under those legs, there's one little flat platform that all those legs sit on. And then under that, just one leg.
Just a single leg.
Yeah. So you also get all the benefits of just one leg.
That's
which
right.
I can't imagine what they are.
Well, I mean, it's the unicorn of the tripods.
It is.
You know? And, yes. But I guess also it has that ability that you can stick it into soft ground really easily.
Perfect.
Whereas with a tripod, that's harder.
Harder. Sure.
I mean, tripods, what do we use tripods for? Is that something that you put sort of a, you often put gauze on top, metallic gauze on top, and a Bunsen burner underneath, and then you put like a beaker or something like that?
Yeah, you're thinking about like a heating tripod in a chemical environment. Yeah. I was thinking, of course, a filming camera type tripod.
Oh, yeah.
But I think you went to the primary one.
No, I mean, I think this is the first tripod, right?
Yeah.
Do you think they were holding up? They were holding up beakers before they were holding up cameras.
Yeah.
But both involve some kind of like see-through lens thing.
The beaker.
The beaker is see-through, and
it's a bit lensy.
It's a bit lensy. I mean, it's not a good lens.
Can we go back to the unicorn comment?
Yeah.
Right. What about this? Mm-hmm. It is an inverse unicorn. Mm-hmm. Four horns on the head, just one leg in the middle of the horse.
Wait.
Right.
Oh.
So four up there.
Wait, pointies? Four legs on top of the head.
No, four horns.
Okay.
Right? And then one horse leg right in the middle of the stomach.
Oh, yeah. No, I like that.
Yeah?
It's funny because as you were saying that, I felt like I was having that idea.
Oh, I wonder why.
Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to say this when he's done.
Finally.
And then I had the idea to not do it because that's what you were saying. Oh, I don't have the pad.
Oh no.
Are we gonna raw dog it today?
This is different.
No, this is different.
I'm not gonna have. I better get out my phone so I can write down the sketch ideas so that I know what to write underneath the episode description on the thing. You're getting so many glimpses behind the
curtain.
Foolproof facade of the inverse unicorn.
We apologize. This is normally such a slick pod.
It's a quadricorn.
It's a quadricorn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a unidextrous quadricorn.
Yeah, so, but is it dextrous? It's a biped is two legs. It's a monoped.
Monopedal.
Monopedal. What's the last
quadricorn.
One? Monopedal quadricorn.
It's a beautiful name for a
beautiful
giant
animal. I mean, it would just hop everywhere.
Yeah, and when you put it like that, it sounds easy.
Mm.
You know?
Well, I think if it always just kind of jumps into a hole where it can rest the rest of its body, you know, on the edges of the hole, and then lift up its leg for a bit and just give its leg a rest.
Right.
And then it just needs to do one big hop to get back out of that hole.
Okay. What about this, right? In order to have a hole that was deep enough for it to lower its whole body down into, I think that the hole would have to be deeper than the leg, the monopede, right? And I think that then it wouldn't be able to hop back out again. It'd have to roll out, but then when it rolls over, its four horns get stuck into the ground and it can't roll back.
I picture the top of the body just is laying on the ground.
Yeah, no, me too.
Yeah?
Me too, but then where's the leg? The leg is hanging down into the hole.
Yeah.
How deep is the hole?
Well, I think the hole is just a bit shallower than the leg.
It is a little bit shallower than the leg. So the leg can be lifted off.
The leg can just bend
a little bit
like that. I mean, you can never fully stretch it.
Right, but then you're not looking at that hop that he's doing. Then it's a male quadricorn. That hop that he's doing, he doesn't have much to work with in terms of leg extension in the hop.
No, you're right.
You're not lowering the body down or anything. You're doing the equivalent of a 1-inch punch, Bruce Lee, but with a hop.
I know, but that's
the 1-inch hop.
I mean, but that's probably their one special power. Is that like, you know, they're just known for being able to accelerate very quickly over a very short period of time. Either that or what he does is...
You're right, that leg would be so developed, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a strong leg. We're not talking like, you know, this is its only, you know, like workable limb that carries all of that horse weight.
Yeah.
All the time.
But it's consolidated. See, what it's done is it's consolidated all the legs down into one leg, right? So there's a lot less maintenance.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah. I was thinking cheaper
for shoes.
Horseshoes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember when we saw a horse get rubber shoes on so that it could walk on the inside of a studio floor?
I did.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Something to remember. I never thought that a horse could wear rubber shoes.
No.
I guess if they were playing basketball, that's what they would wear.
Yeah, I wonder if any of them have pumps. We'll work on it. Horse pumps.
It seems unlikely, though.
I want to.
Wait. I was just going to say with the horse. You can hold on to that. Make a note of it on your telephone if you need to. Was that another way that it could get out if it can't jump? And sometimes, occasionally, it's going to find a hole where it can't reach the bottom. Is that it could bend its leg and then roll, and then sort of just come over, roll onto its bended knee, and then just lift itself up, and then just start going.
Jeez, that'd be amazing to see.
Yeah.
A self-riding quadricorn.
Do you think you could ride a quadricorn?
Not happily.
No?
No. I think the hopping is the antithesis of rideability.
Yeah.
What is there that hops? The kangaroo? No one rides a kangaroo.
Yeah.
Right? The rabbit? Nobody rides a rabbit.
Camel, the way a camel runs is a bit hoppy.
Not at all, no.
No?
No, it couldn't be further from the truth.
No, that is close to the truth. Have you ever seen a camel run? You haven't seen camels run.
I think I'm sure I've seen
there's
camels
a madness
run.
To I think it. If there's a madness to it that is reminiscent of hopping.
Really, what they're doing is all four legs are individually hopping.
Yeah, it's a four-legged hop.
But they're hopping out of sync.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, maybe that's kind of what
happens
with animals.
Amazing if you could find that out, if you could prove that all the camels' legs are hopping. What would be involved?
Individually, like they're actually doing their own thing.
Totally independent. Totally decentralized leg control. Each leg is at the start of the year, given a certain amount of resources to get it through the year. And
the leg wants
it's up to
survive.
The leg wants to survive. And so it's up to the individual leg to ensure that it uses its resources and it contributes to the team. It observes what's happening around it in order to make sure that it and the camel that it's dependent upon make it through.
Yeah.
And what's great about this is if the camel does lose a leg, it doesn't care.
It doesn't care because it doesn't care about its limbs. Its limbs care about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how it should be. Your legs support you.
Yeah,
I don't support
right.
my legs.
No.
Why am I caring about my legs?
You never rub cream on them or something
this
like
is,
that?
This is, no.
Not
no,
even sunscreen?
No. This is a great...
Not even if you're wearing shorts.
This is a great kind of like a neoconservative thing, right? Where you no longer care about your legs.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
Because they...
They can stand on their own two feet.
They can stand on their own two feet, exactly. But also, because you're on top, you know, you got there by merit, presumably.
Yeah, they wouldn't have put you on top if you were worse.
Yeah, exactly. And so
because the metaphorical design of things, like idea of things being on top, being better than the things on the bottom.
It's also a literal,
it's also
physical,
literal.
Spatial thing. But this is like when Kyle Sandilands won some sort of award, right? He won some fucking award at the Logies or something like that, and he got up there. Right, Carl Sandilands is like a shock jock kind of guy in Australia. Thing, yeah. And he got up there to accept the award and he said, I'm not going to thank all the people who worked on the show because they were just doing their job. And he walked off. And I think that's how, you know, these people would feel about legs.
Yeah.
You know, why would I take care of my legs?
I think you're right.
Is that a sketch?
Yeah, I think that's a sketch. I think I think we can definitely say it's just an extension.
Movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That your legs are essentially like your underlings.
They're a service beast.
Yeah.
They're a beast of bird.
And you do whatever you need to keep them in good health or to get somebody to keep them in good health.
All right.
But mostly they work for you.
Yes. Yes. So I'm running down service legs.
Service
I mean, you already do enough for your legs, presumably, just by eating and keeping them alive. I mean, they're dependent on you.
Exactly, and it's the thinking head that has to do all of that work.
And in the order legs, to get the stuff.
Especially these days when We work in industries that mostly don't involve our legs. It's a lot of sitting.
Mm. Oh, you think the legs are becoming redundant?
Well, exactly. They kind of get you to work, but you don't, you know, you don't do nice things for your car, and that also gets you to work.
I think that there could be a children's book in a story in which somebody's legs, overnight, they like have an uprising, and then in the morning, the legs are on top, and they're walking around on their hands.
You've got yourself a story.
Yeah.
Do you think he wears them like a hat and the feet are actually on top now?
Yeah, I think so. The feet are on top. Yes. And then do you think that the feet then grab food and shove it up the bump that then has to be pooped out in the mouth? Or is that a little too graphic, even for children's books?
I mean, look, kids, you know, kids these days, you know,
it's all about
they're
bumps.
Shaving at two or whatever.
They are. Yeah. Yes.
And, you know, they've already, you know, by the time they're in, you know, in the womb, they're already watching, you know, they've got Pornhub in there and things like that. So, yeah, it's not, there's nothing that shocks them.
No.
So, you know, your feet, I mean, the only thing I guess that might be shocking is how easily feet that are as far away from your head as can be when the top of your legs are on top of your head are physically grabbing food. So I'm presumably their feet are just curling over and picking up like corn on the cob or whatever and cake, right? And then they're bending around, which would involve your, like, which would be so hard on your neck, that weight, going all the way around and then pushing with the limited dexterity of
I think they've probably got more potential than we give, you know, than we give them credit for.
But. Yeah, and then pushing them into the butt.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Exactly, that's what I'm describing. Now, on the cob.
Do you want to write down that kids' book idea?
Maybe
we don't come up with five sketch ideas.
Leg, foot, head.
Legs on
kid
top.
Book. Yeah, great. I mean, I don't see there being any problems with that. I think what it is because their legs, you know how sometimes your legs go to sleep?
Mm.
Sometimes they wake up early, right? Because they had all that sleep during the day. So they wake up, their legs wake up, and then while the legs are awake and the body's still asleep, the legs decide to get up on top. And so when you wake up, already the legs are sitting up in the air, right?
Mm.
And they slide you out of the bed down onto the ground, and you have to use your hands to walk around.
Oh, you wake up and you're under the sheets.
Yeah.
And you see the feet are up on the pillow.
Yeah.
Like that. And then you're kind of just dragging the bottom of your torso along the ground, and you're kind of just lifting yourself up like that.
No, I think you'd be walking on your hands.
But then if you're walking on your hands, then your feet are now back on the ground.
No, you're just your hands. So your feet are up in the air.
How?
And you're walking on your
hands.
But
aren't your legs coming out of your head?
No, their legs are still where they are. It's just they've turned you upside down.
Oh. I see. I thought it was more fun as they just sort of took the top.
Oh, I see. That was way less fun.
Yeah?
Yeah, so much less fun.
I mean, look, I think it can work like that. It can work like that in that way in which it doesn't involve somebody being snapped in half. But it's interesting the way that your mind went, you know, where your mind went.
Yeah, to somebody not being snapped in half.
Such a simplistic oversimplification, if anything.
Are there any martial arts that involve hopping, you know?
Mm.
I think it'd be quite powerful if you it's a martial art, you do the whole thing just on one leg, and that means that the other leg is just up. It's up there, it's up with the hands.
Mm.
It's in the mix. Yeah. It's just another basically punching.
Sort of like a half capoeira.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's moments where they're kind of jumping, hopping from one leg to another. Mm. Like that. So if you were to be a semi-capoeira, which is actually a completely new form, you know, where the leg actually joins in with the rest, it becomes an arm.
Yeah.
Like that. And so you could use it for punching.
Yes. You can punch with your feet.
Yeah.
It's called foot punching. Foot punch.
Foot punch, the actual style?
Yeah, foot punch.
Sure.
You
also soak your foot in...
yes.
In sort of
fruits.
Fruit and wine and
yeah,
and some maybe like like Bacardi or something like that. I'm not
yeah,
sure.
Why not?
And some juice
like
that, and then you hold a ladle with your foot.
Yes. And
how did we get to here?
Well, it was a potential martial art.
Oh yeah, potential martial
art. Another one where the foot is just up there.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of it is punching. And a lot of people, they're used to blocking, you know, the standard two hands.
Yeah.
But you get another foot in there.
Do you think you bring your leg up over your shoulder?
Oh, I mean, that would be amazing.
Bring your leg over your shoulder so that your foot is kind of here and you can just kind of kick.
Is it boxing, right? It's boxing now, but you also have a boxing glove on one of your feet.
Yeah. And we say it's fine as long as it's wearing a boxing glove and it's up above your shoulder.
Yeah, technically it's an arm.
Yeah.
That's the way an arm is defined in the big book of boxing rules.
I mean, the limbs above your waist.
And then you just got to get it up there and you could revolutionise the sport.
Absolutely. It's about time. I think it needs an injection.
Yeah, it needs an injection. All right. Am I writing this down?
Absolutely.
Foot punching.
Foot punching.
Boxing. Foot boxing.
And this is not kickboxing.
No.
No, of course not.
No, because you're just kicking. Well, you're kicking with the feet, not punching.
Yeah, I'm picturing this guy who is now walking on his hands. He had a big boxing match that day. And so then, you know, high school.
That could be quite good.
But think about it though. He's got two boxing gloves on his feet who are now up the top. And instead of aiming for the guy's head, because that'll be below the belt, which he can't do anymore. He's just got to aim for his balls.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which is now above the belt.
Above the belt.
Yeah, I mean, that is the risk, isn't it?
Mm.
But I figure that most of the punching will be done. If you're standing on your hands with your legs in the air, most of your punching will be done sort of from behind, like the feet kicking backwards, which would mean that if you're facing him with your butt, he can't reach your balls to punch them because the butt's in the way.
Oh, that's good. I mean, if they're just punching you in the butt,
I think the butt could take quite a bit of punching.
Yeah, you could take it like... I mean, you could go 12 rounds easy.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be... You'd have limited sort of dexterity with the legs, I feel, compared to what you have with the arms. And also that whole having to tilt your head up so high so that you could look up and see what the hell's going on up there.
You got to do it with instinct.
Yeah.
Or hearing, or just reading the reaction of the crowd.
Or you could just do this, you go.
Yeah,
and
perfect.
And then use echolocation.
Those environments, they're not noisy in any way. There wouldn't be much sound pollution in the Madison Square Garden. Yeah, great.
Is that, do you think, your first match? You get Madison Square Garden? They go, normally you'd want to work your way up to a heavyweight title or something like that, but this guy's doing boxing on his hands.
Well, he's turning the boxing world upside down. He's starting at the top.
Or at least at the bottom. His hands are.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that also written down, or is that part of...
I think it's part of foot puncher.
Foot punching, okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a different thing, isn't it? It's an upside down boxer.
Mm.
It's a totally different idea.
Well, it's kind of back to the kids' book. Maybe the kid... Do you think...
The person in the kids' book is a boxer?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a high school boxer.
Well, maybe it would make sense that if he were a boxer, that your head, used to getting punched, would probably not put up that much of a fight when the legs took over. It'd be like, oh, thank goodness, this is actually a relief.
This is great.
Like it's more of a mutually beneficial change of roles.
Imagine how good you'd have to be at hand work. You know, because the feet do some pretty important stuff during boxing. You know,
fancy handwork.
You know, having to do that rope-a-dope thing.
Your legs, your arms would get so tight. Oh, I wonder how long you could do that for.
And you'd get your head would fill up with blood.
Oh yeah.
And you'd see me go.
coughing.
Mm.
Love to cough.
Would be great if we could, and tell me if this doesn't sound like it's feasible. If we could slide inside of dolphins' mouths.
Yes.
And just be comfortable in there and fit in there and then not digest us and then just be able to swim inside them and sort of access their oxygen and just get to know what it's like to live as a dolphin for a bit.
I think that is impractical.
Mm.
But I think if you upgrade that dolphin to, say, a minke whale, you know, or even a pilot whale, that's perfectly designed. It's basically a sleeping bag with a tail. You could slip in there.
Mm.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Slip in.
Right? Or where are we looking out? The mouth hole. Are we wearing like a scuba mask or something like that?
It's all blurry.
No. Oh, I love it.
It's not about seeing. It's about experiencing.
I wonder when the last time was I opened my eyes underwater. It's been ages. Oh. It used to be a big part of my life.
Yeah?
You know, yeah, I'll get down there, open your eyes underwater, look around.
I have a huge reaction to salt and chlorine from opening my eyes. I would open my eyes so much underwater. And then my eyes would just go like, oh my God, like that. And then with having a kid, I would refuse to not open my eyes.
You would refuse to not open your eyes. Yeah. Right, so when you were a kid, you insisted on opening your eyes.
I want to see.
Even though you, like, was this always the case, or do you think you developed, like, this reaction?
I think this might have been always the case.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so well, you're quite sensitive to contaminants.
Yeah, it could be due to that. It could be due to the amount of chlorine I've taken in via the eyes.
Mm. But now with a kid.
Now with a kid, he always wants to look at each other underwater, so it's just goggle time.
And he's comfortable with goggles. Well, why didn't you have goggles as a kid?
I just didn't ever bother.
Oh, hell, dear.
But I mean, they are the cowards, you know.
Yeah, you're right. They are. You know? They are, yeah. I mean, yeah, the fact that your eyes need air.
Yeah. Well, it's like,
bring a little bit of air. You bloody tourist.
Little bubble. Yeah. Everybody can tell. Like, I mean, I want to be like a normal animal. I just want to go in and just see the way that they see.
Mm, blurry. Must be so blurry for them all the time. And the salt must really sting their eyes. But I bet they don't get ulcers.
No, you don't think so?
The mouth ulcers. Well, what do you do when you get a mouth ulcer?
What do you do?
You rinse it with some salt water.
No, I don't.
All right. Why not? It's the best.
Hey?
Have you never even tried this?
I don't think I even really get ulcers.
No, you don't get, like, in your mouth, you don't get, like, some kind of
painful... Sometimes I bite the shit out of my mouth and there's a wound there. Is that an ulcer?
Well, no, I think your mouth is probably scared of you, and that's why it doesn't give you ulcers, because it knows that you're not to be fucked with.
That makes sense.
You'll bite your own mouth.
Yeah, even when I don't want to.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? That's how... how serious this is. Man, I would love some water right now. Yeah. The only liquid I can see is some sort of spray and wipe.
But is it toxin?
Look, it's the earth kind. It's green. It's got a picture of a plant on it.
There's a lime there. There's some... Is that mint?
This Earth Choice brand of detergents and washing up powders and liquids and all that sort of thing, spray and wipes. I always buy it because it says earth on it. And I'm like, that must be good for the planet.
Yeah.
And it's always green and stuff. But also, it's always like the cheapest one. It's like the cheapest dishwashing detergent. And that makes me think it can't be good for the planet. Like, they gotta do something about this product. They gotta raise the price, or they gotta ditch this planet saving thing, because it's
too easy.
It's messing with my head.
But isn't that the only way that you would really sell this thing, is if it's like cheaper than other stuff?
No, I mean, that's the whole point about making things environmentally friendly. You can charge more for them. That's why people want to save the planet, to make a little dollar.
No. You gotta. If you really want to save the planet, you make it cheaper so that you can, you say no to profits, to extra profits.
No, you're absolutely right.
I mean, it just depends on how much they do. I mean, I'm not saying that they're not a scam. I'm sure there's a possibility. I mean, look at this. What's this?
I mean, it's a plastic bottle.
Yeah, it's a plastic
bottle.
Can't
be that good for the planet. Good. Should be served inside like an old banana leaf or something.
You got to store it away from sunlight. So that's miles. That's extra miles that you're adding to it. You got to find places with no light. Mm. Plant-based formula. No petrochemicals.
This is all really suspicious. Yeah. I mean, plant-based, that means they're making it from plants.
They're killing plants.
Which are giving us oxygen.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, this whole thing, it's a real bloody mess. What do you think of destroying the Amazon in order to plant cane so that we can have ethanol fuel to have a more environmentally friendly car sort of thing, you know? Put it in the petrol. Destroy a bit of Amazon.
Yeah.
Plant a bit of sugar.
But is ethanol more energy efficient, or is it?
It's not that it's more energy efficient. It's that because it's not coming out from underneath the earth, it's not fossil fuel. It's like it's renewable in the sense that you can, when you grow the cane, it takes the carbon back out of the atmosphere. So in that sense, it's sort of carbon neutral, right?
Right. Yeah. But it's like 10%, or it's like less than 10% of the thing.
Yeah.
And it's got less energy in it, so you're having to drive more.
And you're having to destroy the Amazon. That's a hard sell.
Yeah.
Can't we just burn the Amazon? Surely.
Couldn't like, we just put logs?
Put the Amazon in the car? I think we have to grow the cane. Then we could just grow more Amazon, right?
Yeah, now we still we'll just have endless Amazon. If the Amazon was renewable. Right. I don't know, the ethanol thing I've never been sold on.
I mean, it's a bit cheaper again, it's a little cheaper.
No, it is cheaper, I do buy it when E10. It's really cheap.
Yeah.
Having a really good time with that.
I was buying it the other day, some guy pulled up behind me and said, you're putting that in that car. I didn't know what that meant. I got a shit car. Or can I not put this shit petrol in it?
Who cares?
Why is he? Yeah, I don't know why he felt the need to.
Are you putting that in that car? The only time I've really had most like bad interactions with strangers. A lot of times at a petrol station.
Yeah, yeah. Some woman shouting at me about using my phone while I'm on the pump. I'll blow up and die if I want to, okay?
I know, you're at the thing with her as well. She's there too.
But no, she wasn't until she pulled up. She saw me. She knew.
Yeah, I've had like old guys like where he's pulling up to the one, you know, there's like two in one row. There's two pumps in one row. Mm. And he's pulling up to one and I'm like, oh great, I can get to this front one. And then he moves way more forward so that he can go in and I go, and he goes, nah. Like that.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Why?
He didn't want to make space for both of us.
But there's two pumps.
Yeah.
Oh, what a dog.
Yeah, no, he was a dog.
Yeah. Hope he dies. Does he seem like he would die?
I think it was definitely coming
in the next... Was he immortal?
No, it looked like it was coming in the next 20 to 25 years.
That's perfect.
But he did have lightning around him at all times, so that could have been immortality.
Man, if that woman had pulled up behind him at the pump, she would have hated that.
Yeah. I mean, I think he would have had to get his wife to sort of start the petrol. You don't want to have lightning around you during, when there's fumes around.
Yeah.
So how good does that petrol smell?
This is the thing, I've never liked it.
No?
No, I've never liked it. My brothers used to like it when we were growing up. They'd like to open the windows at the petrol station and smell it. And I'm like, this is disgusting. I like the smell of diesel. I'm a diesel guy.
Really? Like exhaust?
Not the exhaust, no, but the fuel, the diesel fuel, it's got a more earthiness to it. No. Feels more, you know, natural.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if it is.
It's a bit
cruder, I
wonder
if they could measure how much more natural it is. Got to be a bit more natural.
Yeah. And do you get a little bit more distance out of it as well?
You're supposed to get more something, more power, more torque or something. I don't know.
it just seems worse, doesn't it?
It does seem worse. Everyone thought it was more environmentally friendly for a while. And then this Volkswagen thing, and they're like, oh no, that's bad.
Oh, right.
It's real bad.
So it was just Volkswagen that was somehow...
I don't know. Maybe you do get a little more distance out of it, but the contaminants, the pollutants that it releases, are as bad, if not worse.
Yeah, right.
So...
Man, I think the last 10 minutes hasn't really been any sketch ideas.
No, it hasn't
sort
been.
Sort of us
super
just
funny.
Talking about
various sort of fuel based concerns. Yeah. What about this, right? You know how we've got vertical gardens now? You know, you go to one of those fancy buildings in the city, it's all about that vertical garden. They got it up there, right? What about introduce some vertical animals? You know, get yourself some goats on that. Or sheep.
Sure. You know? So, like they just fall off?
I guess they'd have to be, like in the studio here, we've got these funky kind of like ratchet things that you can just pull down and they just support a light at any level, right? Maybe the sheep just need to be on those and they're hanging sideways next to the thing, or they're on bungee ropes or something like that, and they can sort of bounce up and down past the vertical garden.
I mean, there should be a thing where it's like, you know, like these like indoor rock climbing places where you don't need to have somebody down the bottom with a rope. So it's just like a kind of coil thing.
Yeah, clicky, clicky.
Yeah, so like, you know, you can climb up the wall by just sort of using your little goat legs or whatever to just go blah, 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 and you could eat stuff. And then if you stop, you can just, it'll just hold you in place.
At level. You fall, it snaps you.
Yeah, but if you push out, it just allows you to sort of start descending.
I wonder how long it would take for the sheep to learn that. Can't be all that long.
Can't be that long, especially if you start them really young.
Yeah.
You know? And they'll be like, oh, you know, and you just teach one, a pregnant woman, sheep.
Yes. They call them women?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think they're a woman and a man.
Are... Is that right?
Yeah.
So woman and man, does that apply to all animals?
A woman sheep and a man sheep.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A woman cow.
Dog.
A man cow.
Is this dog a woman?
Yes. A woman dog.
A woman cat? I feel like you would...
No, I think you're mistaken in thinking that those are terms reserved only for humans.
Because they got man in there, you see, that's why it's...
But listen, it's human. Mm. Human, that's just one type of man.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all... Does that mean that all creatures are a type of man?
I think so. I think bears...
Yeah.
They're essentially bearmen.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, they're Orson. I'm trying to find, you know...
Yeah, I see what you're
I'm
going with
I'm trying to find the human. You know, there's got to be other mens. Peterman? I mean, that's also a human.
Yeah.
Ice cream.
Because you talk about a boy sheep and a girl sheep.
Yeah. Well, at some point, that boy sheep becomes a...
Becomes a man sheep.
Yeah, because when you're saying a boy sheep, you're talking about a lamb.
Yeah, that's right. Is that a sketch in any way? Whether or not they're a man, woman and men.
Yeah,
could it be the animal kingdom?
It's a speech from one of the guys from the Oxford Dictionary.
Yeah.
And he's just saying, I want to be able to say this. It's just, I think it sucks. I think it's very restrictive that people... I mean, it's not... Nobody's come to me with this or said that there's a problem with this.
A real maverick. Maybe somebody buys out the Oxford Dictionary. Do you think that could happen?
Mm.
You know, like some...
Someone like Trump.
Yeah, someone like Trump, right, and starts trashing the institution of the Oxford Dictionary,
But it still has enough, you know, it still is held up so that it's still the thing that people turn to as like, nah, if this says it, then that's it.
He would probably pronounce human as human, which sounds a lot like a sheep, you know?
That's true.
Because of you.
Yeah, that's definitely what Ray Romano would say.
Now, a sheep that has lost its testicles is a wether, so that would be a weatherman.
Of course, yeah.
This is all working great.
Yeah.
And the sketch is just writing itself.
Exactly.
You know, all these ideas, they just tie together so well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the narrative is clear to me. You know, the various beats. The characters
are
so clear.
It's a rich guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a rich guy, and he's talking to somebody, and he like we're talking billionaire.
Yeah.
Right?
And this comes up in conversation.
It's a Jeff Bezos type, and he's saying,
oh, wow.
No, I'm pretty sure it was a woman sheep.
Yeah.
And then somebody goes, you can't say, no, it's either a female or a male, you can't say woman sheep. And then he goes and he buys the Oxford Dictionary, and he says, you can say this, like that. So I think there is a sketch there.
You're absolutely right. Okay. Yeah. Dictionary buyout.
Yeah, or woman sheep.
Okay, sure. Woman sheep.
Woman.
Woman dog.
Woman dog, woman horse, woman dolphin.
And then like a human woman becomes a woman man? That's not going to be popular.
Yeah, no. Yeah, woman man and a man man. But is that a human? Or I think we can remove human.
Yeah.
Or a woman human.
A woman human.
And a man human.
Yeah.
Because the species is human.
The species is human. Okay, that checks out. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's going to be an easy fix. Woman, sheep, dictionary, buyout.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How are you feeling in your body at the moment, Alistair?
I'm coming out of the sickness.
That's great. Me too.
Yeah.
Feels so good.
But I'm deep in tiredness.
Yeah. Well, you're burning the candle sort of all the way along the side.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm not really doing that much during the day that's sort of work related, but I'm hanging out with family and preparing for a wedding.
Mm.
Yeah. Which has only just started to get more intense.
Yeah, right.
Because now we've realized there's lots of little things to do.
Wedding stuff.
Yeah. But just kind of things like, we're going to have a photo booth thing. What do we have in the background?
Are there going to be seats? Are there going to be chairs?
I think we're getting, oh, maybe. Maybe not, though. I don't think
there's going to be sitting?
I don't think there's going to be any sitting.
Standing wedding?
Yeah, it's going to be a standing wedding.
Okay.
Standing wedding only.
Well, you're going to have pizzas.
Yeah, pizzas.
We're talking sporks, plates.
No, I don't know.
No color. You don't need it for a pizza.
No.
Right?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think anybody who does that, you don't want them at your wedding.
Are there any scenarios in which you would go to a dining experience and they would just give you gloves to wear?
Mm.
Disposable gloves. You eat with the disposable gloves and then you chuck those away.
Oh, and well, you could make gloves like that for, you know, wedding, not a wedding experience, but a restaurant experience where each finger has a different utensil.
Oh, that's really fun.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, or just, they're just spikes, you know, like talon kind of things. There you go. You just, so there's big bowls of sort of little things going around, arancini balls and that sort of thing. You've just got talons on the end of your fingers.
Yeah.
You plunge your claws into this bowl that's being carried past, pull it out. You know, you've got 10...
Curry puffs, is it?
I didn't know.
No, 10 curry puffs.
10 curry puffs, there you go.
Right. Happiest man in the world.
Off the claws. It's the claw style. We're eating it off the claw.
Off the claw. Corn on the claw.
Clawn on the club.
Clawn on the club.
I mean, I was about to say before, I would love it if there were more things that you could eat off the cob.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't see why all food shouldn't have the option of coming on the cob.
Yeah, meatballs on the cob.
Meatballs on the cob. Somebody's got to be on this.
Yeah. It's
fun to eat off the cob.
And what are we doing with all those lost husks?
Yeah, and all the used cobs.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's what I'm referring to.
You send back a cob to be reconditioned.
Yeah. But you could just have other foods put on there.
Yeah.
They've still got the indentation where you can, like, anchor in the foods.
Yeah,
new
it's
foods.
Like a lost tooth. They're very much like, you know, whatever technology it is that they use to attach a new tooth into your mouth hole. Use that on the cob.
Exactly. No, I like this. I mean, because you could have a sort of an entree, a main, and a dessert cob.
Yeah.
You know, are you writing down cob?
Well, I'm going to write down...
It's a classic. It's a classic two in the think tank restaurant experience.
It is. I'm going to write dining on the claw because I like that as well.
Mm.
As a wedding thing. You know, we're doing this thing. It's new. Just put on the gloves. Right. And then the food comes around and you stab it.
We were talking the other day about how we, you know, and while we're talking about dining experiences, that it seems really dumb that the body sort of removed the functionality of the belly button. Definitely talked about this because I've talked about, I just realized, I did have an idea about one where you keep your umbilical cord and so it never stops, and then you could just like lay it in some soup, you know, and you could just do other things in the meantime, and that could just absorb it and still keep eating that way through, have this food go through it.
Mm-hmm.
But you would have to be able to suck in through the tube, right?
I reckon that's possible. Yeah. I reckon with your abs or whatever, right? Like, surely
you'd figure it out.
Pushing and squeezing your abs, you can create suction.
Yeah, I wonder if the baby in the stomach can decide, like, no, that's enough.
Well, the baby in the stomach's not getting just raw food in through the pipe.
No, I know, but I mean, like, it is
despite
getting
the fact that that's how I picture it every single time. It's just mushed up food directly from the mum's stomach that goes in through the pipe into their stomach. That is,
I
will
like
never stop.
Well.
I will never stop picturing it that way, even though I've been through extensive medical stuff with our kids that has taught me that that is not
it's
the case.
It's just blood, right? You're just getting nutrients.
It is just blood that goes through some kind of like transfer thing in the placenta. You know, it's almost like a heat exchanger for you know, an air conditioner or something, but it's heat exchange.
Nothing touches itself. It's
nothing
so
nothing touches anything.
I think that's where we're heading with society. You know, to try to keep a more contactless society where the only
nothing will ever have to go into anything.
No, it will just go near each other and then love will just transfer.
Yes, like wireless charging.
Like, exactly. And that's kind
contactless payments.
And then that way it's going to hugely reduce the amount of sort of sexual harassment and things like that.
Well, maybe we could get some sort of inductive type sexual thing. So you get some sort of plate sort of thing that goes over your genitals, right? That has coils magnets, that sort of stuff in it, right?
Sure.
And now you can sexually interact with one another's genitals, a place where all sex happens, of every kind, right? And you can do it from from a safe distance.
Well, what about if you just had like a steaming device in there, like a steaming and jerking device, right?
Yes.
And so
the old steam and jerk. I believe that's a weightlifting maneuver.
It's basically just a device that jerks and then produces heat, I guess, which heats up water that's in a sort of an area.
Yeah.
In there. And then as this, the spawn comes out, it really pushes the steam out, and you just go into a breeding booth. So then
the sperm becomes sort of basically vaporized.
Yeah, it becomes like a sperm vapor.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe it works like one of those like vape pens, right?
Mm-hmm.
whatever takes the delicious flavor and turns it into vape. And then you do that with sperm, right? And then you just do that into a booth, and then your beloved goes into the booth, and then she just gets pregnant like that.
Just from the atmosphere.
Just from the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you don't have to do any of that kind of troublesome stuff.
Sounds so good.
So easy.
So it doesn't sound troublesome in any way.
This was just another idea I had while we were talking about this other, like these ideas of indirect transfers. I was thinking that what if we were to stop talking directly to each other?
Okay.
But we just start non-stop talking to ourselves.
Yes.
But encoding within there things that we want other people to pick up, which I guess is probably all things that we say out loud.
Yeah.
And then you stand near people that you kind of want those things to be communicated to, and then if they pick up some stuff through some
Mate, just sounds like you're describing social media.
Hello.
Hey. No, but like it's like an echo chamber, just for you.
That is actually pretty not that far from what sending out tweets.
I know.
You go, I guess this is kind of mostly for me, but if anybody else likes it, let's bring that. Let's bring that to regular talking.
To conversation.
So you're saying things that could be interesting, and if people find it interesting, they can come and stand around you and listen.
And bathe in your...
Yeah. You know, and then you go on like... You know, goobers. What are goobers?
Now this is stand-up comedy.
I know, but you know, you just go to rooms. It's basically sort of social media rooms, and it's where you don't want to be alone, but you're not that comfortable with regular social interaction where you have to look at people's faces and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just want to hear people's voices, but you don't want to have to be talked to or answer questions and things like that. So you can just go and stand around somebody who seems to be talking to themselves in a relatively entertaining way.
It seems like the sort of thing I would love to go and do, just stand next to someone who's talking to themselves.
You're going, oh, blabberdy-doo. You know, that's the kind of thing that I would do under doopity-doo, you know? College football is a Notre Dame. I heard that term a lot, you know. And briefly, I knew somebody who had a Notre Dame shirt, you know. And you know, cosmic rays. I mean, that's the thing that plays on your mind, like that. And then people who are kind of liking your flavor of things.
Yeah.
And obviously, over time, you get better at just the constant riff.
Yeah.
And making it funnier or better.
Well, it's basically, it feels to me like what you're stripping out from communication is all meaning.
Mm.
We're going back to almost this kind of random thing, like almost like a primordial soup of communication.
Mm.
And then we're allowing a kind of evolutionary thing to take place wherein people who are attracted to certain types of gobbledygook will be attracted to yours, and then you'll be able to slowly, along with them, you'll develop entirely new languages, probably.
Sure.
And ways of communicating.
Yeah, and I guess also you'll quickly find out what people do want to listen to.
Yeah.
And so then you'll shift what you do to kind of...
I have a feeling that what people are going to want to listen to is anything else.
Anything other than gobbledygook?
Well, anything... I think silence, probably. I think they'll probably just go away.
No. Look, people don't want to be alone. Loneliness is increasing. And so we're going to need
I think that's because people want to be alone.
We're going to need these social halls, you know, and... Maybe the social hall, you know, all our apartments will now be all back onto, like I said, of a town square. We're going to go back to town squares, but because the buildings will go up really high, there'll just be a town square on every level.
Mm-hmm. And town squares all the way down.
And the ceiling of each level will shine imitation sunlight. So it just feels like it'll be imitation sky and sunlight. Mm-hmm. So that it feels like every level is the top level.
That's so good.
Yeah? And there'll be like cool, refreshing.
Will you
wind.
Know about the other levels?
You'll know about them. You know that this is fake. You're not, you haven't been tricked.
Well, how long will you know? You'll forget eventually. I think you'll start to...
Yeah, you'll forget.
That's probably what we're in right now.
Do you
we probably
so?
Just don't know.
Yeah, we, exactly. Yeah. And so then you'll... And then everybody's backyard or back window of their apartment slash house thing. You know, it'll all be in an apartment building. But you can have big enough things that it's the houses. Anyway, and then everybody's house will back onto one of these town squares. And that's where people will... We'll start with the gobbledygook and things like that, so that everybody is connected to society.
I mean, that's perfect.
You know, and then you can just go and you can start, and everybody will get better at talking.
Yes.
And riffing.
Yes.
Everybody will get better at, you know, be interested in what, you know what other people want to hear.
But isn't everybody constantly talking?
Well, they can be if they want to.
Oh, so you can be silent as well. You can just listen.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh,
that's
good.
For the people who just go stand there.
Yeah. Because I thought they were also constantly talking and you were just going into each other's orbits and letting your words just kind of mingle in the
air. I mean,
air.
There will be a lot of that too.
Yeah.
Because some people will want to be heard by the big crowds of some of the other people.
Oh, no, like parasites. You will have attracted this crowd and then someone will come in and then you'll have to be constantly on the move, leading your group of listeners.
Or there'll be people who will basically try and copy your style. People who've decided they like your success and they'll copy your style in a similar way, like that. But then they'll find a way, they'll be like, I know how I can improve on his style. And then they'll stand near you and do a very similar thing to what you do and then steal some of your listeners by doing a better one.
And force you to become better. Mm. Man, people would be so fascinating, wouldn't they? Like, you would get so fascinating
You'd
real
get
quick.
Get really fascinating.
What would you call this sketch, Alistair?
Social circles? I don't know.
Social... Endless chatters.
Like, but it's like we're trying to just take social media and bring it offline.
I think that when the whole thing collapses, you know what I'm talking about. All of this, right?
All this that we live
all
in.
All of this, all this technology and everything. People will still be so addicted to podcasts, right? That what they'll probably do is we'll be able to be hired, right? To sort of come and sit on somebody's shoulders and just chat either side of their head.
Yeah, well, that's good. You know? Yeah, I like that.
You know, if there's some way that we could be made more light so that that's less of a burden on them, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll just be reduced to a head.
Wouldn't it be cool if you just had to work one day a year? Do you think there's a way that we could just do one podcast a year and never have to work again?
No, I don't think so, Alistair.
But what about in like...
Certainly not on the path we're heading down.
No?
No.
But you think by making a thing that's a very niche...
Yeah, but then also, you know, by getting people to support us on the Patreon where we do extra podcasts, which is more.
Yeah, but then...
Rather than less.
You just need to lure in one billionaire.
Yeah, this is always the best, isn't it? The idea of you just lure one billionaire. It's hard to lure them, though.
No, I know, but but you only need to lure one.
I know.
You know, so you can...
But they're hard to lure.
I know, but you can try to lure many. You can try and lure as many as you want.
Yeah, right.
There's only one you need to lure.
That's true.
I mean, you could try to lure all of them simultaneously.
You miss 100% of the billionaires you don't try to lure.
Exactly. And then you just need, what, like $1 billion a year?
And they're a billionaire and you want $1 billion a year?
Is that too crazy to ask for?
I think that's a lot for a billionaire. Oh. I think even billionaires regard $1 billion as a lot.
Yeah, right.
You know,
but what about...
If you want it every year...
Well, what about 500 million?
I think you find yourself a billionaire, Alistair, and you ask for $2 million a year.
You
that's
ask
very
for it.
Reasonable.
Well, that's rude. That's rude to ask.
Well, well, then how are you getting them to give it to you?
You make them think it's their idea. You can't get money out of a billionaire by asking for it.
I think some people who are trying to just get one billionaire.
Yeah.
And what do? You got to go up to all of them and ask?
I think this is a movie.
Yeah, well, you're not allowed to ask, apparently. You have to make them think it's their idea.
Yeah.
All right, so it's a movie called All It Takes Is One Billionaire. The Power of One.
The Power
billionaire.
Of One Billionaire.
Okay, great. Gosh, we've got a lot of ideas today, Alistair. I'll leave it to the listeners and posterity to decide how many of them are sketches. I think that might be enough.
Yeah.
Oh, we got some words from a listener.
I gotta go and look. We really just jumped into this today, and
we really did. I mean, in every sense, we were unprepared. Yeah, oh, this is great. This list of sketch ideas, I've put it on an old note. And it also has, you know, broccoli, carrot, zucchini, noodles.
Yeah.
Written down.
Those seem like three words.
It has the phone name of, the name and phone number of a woman who could possibly babysit for us. These are going to make great sketch ideas. They're probably closer to being sketch ideas than some of these other things. I don't quite know how the monopedal quadricon is going to make it into a sketch. Unless, I mean, I guess you find the... You find the bones of it somewhere. You speculate. We have a sketch where you speculate.
Oh, a sketch where you speculate. No. Mm-hmm. We're going to actually just find just a herd of them.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it'll be easy. And then you try to break one. We get the best cowboy in town. Try to break them. But then what he actually does is he keeps breaking their legs, getting on their backs.
Yeah, chips up.
I'll fix the next one.
Well, they'd be very finely balanced. Be hard to get on.
No, I don't think we've done this one.
Yeah. Lay these words on
from me. this listener, Andriana Genualdi.
It's a beautiful name.
You ever heard Andriana?
No, but...
Genualdi?
Genualdi takes away all your stress, doesn't it?
Did I do this last time?
I don't know, but I'm loving it.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you the three words.
And I'll tell you if you've already told me the words.
You're right. You ready for these words?
Yeah.
Do.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
On.
I feel like we've had those words years ago.
Yeah.
Like a really long time ago, we did do go on as our three words. I don't know if it was from Adriana.
Andriana.
It might have been from Adriana. I was probably thinking of Adriana. This is probably a totally different person, Adriana.
Well,
do go on. I wonder if we did that. I mean, if we did those last week, we're terrible. But I feel like we did it a long, long time ago.
Yeah, right.
But that doesn't mean that we can't, you know,
I mean, look,
try again.
You're right.
You know, maybe we just go back through them all.
Nah, well, there's quite a few people I get through.
No. That's it. We're cutting it off and we're just going to rehash old three-worders. Do go on. Dugoon.
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 Dugong.
Yeah, dugong. Oh, man.
The
tragedy.
So do is half a doo-doo.
Yes.
Go is half a...
Half a go-go.
Go-go.
Half a go-go.
On. Onon.
Onon? Yeah. Onon's not a word. That's the only one.
It's half an onon.
But the onon isn't
but
a word.
But onon would be a good name for a baby.
Onon?
Yeah.
Oh, it's got oh-no in it. That's not good. It doesn't start them out right.
No, it doesn't really.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's no-no backwards.
Yeah, it's no-no backwards. Onon. I mean, onon sounds like, you know, you're giving this kid a chance of being a sort of like a...
No, it's very close to onan.
What's onan?
Well, I think onanism is a euphemism for masturbation. Self-love is onanism.
Self-actualization?
No, masturbation. I mean, I guess that is a form of self-actualization.
Yeah, right. I don't know what actualization means.
It means being the thing that you think you are. Like being yourself, basically, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, right.
You know, to be or not to be, all that stuff.
What about being the person you think someone else is?
Yeah.
Like, let's say, like you know... Somebody called Trajana Corlett. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
And you go, I'm Trajana Corlett actualizing.
Yeah. What would be the general term for that? Like, it would be like other actualization or them actualization. They.
Hmm?
Those. That.
Have you ever seen something like this where somebody like starts dressing up like somebody famous? Like, let's say you started... just at all times, dressing up like Ralph Wiggum, right? And you get your hair done like it and things like that.
Ralph Wiggum, great
but
choice.
But you always look like you always refer to yourself by your regular name.
Mm.
And if anybody asks you about it, you say you don't know who that is.
I don't know if I've heard about that, but I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I had another idea where you were talking.
Yeah.
If there's more on yours, we can go back to it. But my idea is that somebody you become like an impersonator, right,
mm-hmm.
of Elvis Costello,
mm-hmm.
right? and you impersonate Elvis Costello and you do all his songs and you, you know, show up as him at parties and that sort of thing. And then you start releasing original Elvis Costello material. Yeah. And it becomes more popular than the actual Elvis Costello.
Yeah, like.
And this. Everyone sort of just transitions over into following you.
You're the new Elvis Costello.
Yeah, and you, especially because you actually you push his sound in some pretty interesting new directions.
Mm, I like that.
And
because I think once you've learned and sort of like embodied all of the look of him and all of his music, you basically know what's in his brain. Mm, mm. That music is more him than. He is.
Mm. Oh, totally.
And so...
Yeah, so you know better than him what he was trying to do, I think, because you've done that, and you're not worried about all the other stuff, I suppose. Mm. And you have your own experiences to bring to it. I mean, that's what's so exciting, because we've already seen what Elvis Costello can do with his influences. But what could Elvis Costello do with somebody else's influences?
Exactly, like an Elvis Costello that was born in South Africa.
Exactly. Maybe this is what he needs in order to push him his music into the next level. Right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's looking for the new sound. They're looking out there.
I like that. I think that's good.
It's you that's wrong.
It's him. He's doing, he's going, and he's moving
he's,
on.
He's moving on, yes.
Moving on, you know?
So that's
he's doing Elvis Costello.
Yes.
He's having a go at him.
Yes.
And whoops. And then he's moving on even.
We're calling him Nuvis Costello, but that doesn't quite work. Anyway,
what about Elvis Costello? New Elvis Costello.
New Elvis. You got it, Al. I knew there was something there.
I thought you could become an Elvis Costello impersonator and then just do Buddy Holly songs. But that's not, you know, it's a bit too, I think it's a bit too subtle.
It's definitely satirical.
Yeah. Well, what point do you think it makes?
They Elvis both Costello wear, is a bit like Buddy Holly in
they,
some
they wear,
limited
they
ways.
Both wear sort of thick frame square glasses.
Yeah. Yeah. And kind of like a skinny face.
I think it's about time somebody says that.
Yeah. Do you want to hear the sketch ideas?
Yeah, Andy.
Okay, here we go. Kate possible babysitting. 041. No, all right. I won't read out her phone number. How about broccoli, carrot, zucchini noodles? No, all right. Here we go.
Now do you actually buy zucchini noodles?
No, zucchini and noodles. Those are separate points.
Do you ever make zucchini noodles?
I haven't, but I would love to. They seem like a really cool thing.
You know, they're okay. Yeah, I mean, they're pretty good.
Okay, well, I'm glad you didn't let me get too excited.
Cauliflower rice is also a bit like that.
Cauliflower rice, beautiful name. Inverse unicorn, yes, four head horns on the top.
What was the name we came up with for that?
The monopedal quadricon. Service legs, it's a new sort of frontier and sort of alt-right obnoxiousness. I'm basically saying that we don't owe our legs anything.
Mm.
And, you know, they have that role because they...
they're subservient to
they're
us.
They're subservient, yeah. And, you know, the head was put on top for a reason.
Yeah.
Foothead kid book. That's somebody who in the morning their feet are on top and they do everything upside down. Foot boxing, that's where you stand on one leg and you get one extra foot up there in the old in the mix.
Pull it over your shoulder.
Yeah.
Use it to.
Do you think this is the first time I've ever read out the sketch ideas at the end of an episode?
I think so.
How are you feeling about it?
It's very relaxing.
Oh, great. Upside down boxer. So it seems a bit similar to the previous one and maybe even the one before that, but it's not. Okay. Now, woman sheep dictionary buyout. Jeff
I think
Bezos.
It was exactly the same sketch as
no,
what he said.
It's not. No, foot boxing is when you're standing on one leg and you lift one
foot
up. Oh, yeah.
And it's the upside down boxer because his ass can take a real pounding. Yeah.
Your ass is passing checks.
It's passing checks.
That your ass can cash.
Yeah. Because it's
what
not
an ass.
It's not the head. It's not the head of the face. Head of the head.
A woman sheep dictionary buyout. Jeff Bezos gets into a conversation, doesn't like the outcome, so he buys out the dictionary and changes that you can say woman for any animal and man. Dining on the claw. You can just get a claw and you can stab it into the food.
Dining on the claw. Putting on the Ritz. Song.
Yeah.
That's during the ad for the dining on the claw. Dining on the claw.
Hey. Dining on the claw. Put this glove on and stick it into some stuff that they bring past you. Then you can eat it off of that claw.
Suck it off the claw?
Suck it off the claw. Reconditioned cob. Love it. Hello. Send your cobs back and they'll send it back to you with something else on it.
Oh, it's a startup. It's the cob startup.
Social chat circle. That's Alice's idea where you're just constantly talking. And then via a process of evolution, you learn to be more interesting.
Yeah, but also
you attract people and you walk around a city square and everyone's living in a multi-level sort of city square apartment complex where the ceiling looks like the sky. The power of one billionaire. You just need one.
Just need one.
And the new Elvis Costello takes us out in a really interesting new direction. Mm. Should we take us out of here, Alistair? Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We love it. Thank you to everyone who's come to the podcast. Thank you.
Everybody's come to the live show, Magma.
Magma. There's still some shows to see.
Oh, my God.
You're hearing this, you know, as it comes out. Then there's still, you know,
we've still got until the 21st.
Yeah.
Even most of a week.
Yeah.
You've only missed available. One day. You could even see it tonight.
You could see it tonight. No, you couldn't. Oh, wait.
Tuesday, yeah.
Tuesday. Can't see it tomorrow. That's sold out.
No, not yeah, no. Wednesday is the only night that's sold out because Andy, there's 35 engineers coming.
Yeah.
And then some other people.
Yeah, they're going to have an interesting time. Mm. And, you know, thank you so much for everything you do.
For everything.
For supporting us on Patreon. And
for just being good people. Yeah, you're all great. Everybody that we've met has just been an unbelievable person.
You make all of this possible, so thank you.
You make us continue.
And we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.